Death Grips, yeah. you want to pop a cap in that guy's ass
and then smoke his body's ashes.
Death Grips, you're killing somebody.
That's Andrew. Andrew.
What?
That was shitty, and I'm cutting that out.
Funny.
Fine. Fine.
It's a feeling. It's a feeling. It's a feeling. It's a feeling.
Flair burned and fell. The boat burned as well.
There I go, from a man to a memory. Damn, I wonder if my fam will remember me.
They claim the shit I say is just wrong. Like nobody has those really dark thoughts when alone.
Yeah! What is it? Where is it? How will it affect me? Fuck that shit, I need that shit found to be the death of me.
Now, now it's working. I did it.
Oh, shit.
I finally did it.
We're here. Oh, no.
None of us.
It's all
died,
been a terrible mistake.
We're all. I don't even.
So Matt, how's Flashdance?
What?
Flashdance? Or what the fuck was it on the fucking, on your fucking Facebook page?
Flashdance.
How was the thing you did that kept me from being able to go to a party yesterday?
What the hell's Flashdance?
I don't know.
I don't know. What are you saying, John?
John, what are you talking about? How drunk are you?
My world is melting.
I thought you finished everything yesterday.
Yeah, I'm out of booze, which means it's time for the 2011 Album of the Year discussion.
Wait.
That was the worst introductory speech of all time.
It's been a while.
All right.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Let me come back for this one final moment. I say final because we're probably
It's not going to be a final moment. Don't pull that shit.
We're killing ourselves after this.
Oh yeah!
Oh, we have a sweet suicide pact.
Yeah.
If anyone wants
to
join in,
it's kind of like the Breakfast Club. Except no, they didn't kill themselves in that.
Except I have the nice hair.
That's the alternate ending of the Breakfast Club.
That would be awesome,
dude. That would be. Let's remake the Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club would be 10 times more like crazy if they all just did a suicide pact and just killed themselves in the end.
Yeah, and like the dude pumps his fist and then gets hit by a car or whatever, stabs himself.
Like as like. His consciousness fades away. He then lifts up his hand, and then it freezes as he passes out. And then don't you forget about me.
Don't you forget about me.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's fucking good. Man, I'm a genius.
Yeah.
God damn. I wish everyone was as smart as I am.
I had the best idea for a Halloween costume, but I can't tell you on the air.
Why?
Because I need to use it, so...
It's really racist.
No. Yeah, it's totally it.
No.
It's super Trollo, you know. No.
No.
All right, let's start talking about this fucking album thing.
Yeah, so I still managed to miss, like, the few on the list, so I can't talk
God
about...
God damn it, you told me you had two left.
I did, too. I missed them. I missed them, bro.
Fuck! Okay, so you can at least talk about half of Masita,
roughly,
and I guess that's it for 10 Tricks Point Never.
No!
And I,
no!
Yeah, so you guys have to do your own thing.
No!
You guys can do your own thing about it. I can put my 2 cents. I don't think I'm going to be a part of the... Since I've been so...
You know what? That's totally fine.
Nope.
That's totally fine.
No, just...
You know why? Because
you
were. 9 out of 11,
we're just going to knock those two out of contention.
Really? Or are you just going to come out? Really? No, because I'm thinking, like...
That's what we had to do to War Paint last year, also because you didn't listen to it.
No, we didn't do that. Did we do that because I listened to War Paint?
Replica is this year's War Paint.
Yeah, we had to knock out War Paint because you didn't listen to War Paint.
Yeah, we did that.
Oh, is that
and
what
that
we
was
did?
The first one out.
Oh.
And then it just
Well, that was your decision.
So, wait, we're removing Here's to Nowhere? Like, what the hell?
Just leave it in. Yeah. I listened to it. Like, not the whole thing. But
but this sucks.
I think, honestly, like, I'm at this point where I honestly just can't debate what's the best album of the year. Because I haven't been here for the year.
You can debate what is not the best album of the year out of these.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think it makes sense, really. And I don't think I have a really good grasp on it. I think I can help, but I don't think I'm going to be able to come with, like, a final decision like I did last year with you guys. Like, that's the thing. I've been so, like, I haven't seen the whole picture of what everything else is in the year, really. Mm-hmm. And I can't really base it off anything. I'm just kind of basing off this list, and I can say what I like the most out of the list.
All right. Well, let's go for that, then.
Let's
say 2011 only had 9 out of 11 albums. Had 11 albums, and you listened to 9 of them. Let's say that was the year.
There's two that stuck with me most, but there's one that really kind of really worked for me, and I guess Andrew called it for some. I don't know how he did it, apparently, but Strange Mercy, St. Vincent. And why do you laugh at that? Why do you laugh at that?
Because let's just start knocking shit out first, and then we'll see if St. Vincent makes it.
Okay,
I don't like it as much as you guys do, at all.
I think he likes it the most.
Yeah,
I guess I do.
But St. Vincent, I listened to that in the car the other day, and I was just really real happy about the way that turned out.
All right, so let's start being negative. Let's start taking shit out. All right. Andrew, do you want to start?
Okay. I think we could take out Undone.
All right. Yeah, I just listened to that today. It's a good album, but let's go down the list of what's eligible real quick in case someone hasn't heard the thing.
Okay,
so,
nominees! Best album of forever at this point.
Yeah, so we have Knife Man by Andrew Jackson Jihad, Let England Shake by PJ Harvey, Black Up by Sabaz Palaces, Apocalypse by Bill Callahan, Goblin by Tyler, the Creator, Noob Grade by Ice Age, Who Killed by Toon Yards, Strange Mercy by St. Vincent, and Undone by The Roots, which has been undone. Womp womp.
Sorry.
No, it's cool. That was a joke. I was trying to get laughs, man.
Law. 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 Law.
Yeah. All right.
Bad laugh. All right.
I'm going to take Goblin out.
All right. Where did rap go? Where did all the rap go?
Are we taking Goblin out?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I don't feel good about giving Album of the Year to something that I had to warn people about flashbacks to potential rapes before I could review it honestly, you know?
I
feel bad about that.
I don't think that's a good merit, but fine.
I don't agree with that either, but all right, let's go. I will say I didn't like Goblin, and that's why I would cut it out, because I'd be honest.
All right, sweet. Let's
Goblin
get it out of there.
Good. I'll be honest. The only song I like from Goblin was the single that everyone's heard a billion times.
I think that album has a lot of good strong shit at the beginning and at the end, did anyone feel like his shtick in the middle of it?
I don't know.
It definitely could have been a shorter album than it was.
And I don't know. I feel like what Tyler, the Creator, does. I don't feel like he's fully committing. Like he's I'm just really confused by a lot of like.
Oh, I get the whole committing thing. I mean, Boppin' Bitch.
Really the most all over the place of anyone in Future.
Yeah. Really bipolar. But not in a good
way. Well, it's just, he's got a lot of energy and he has a lot of shit he wants to do, and that doesn't really translate into a, like, laser-focused creative force that well.
And it just felt messy. And I had the same problem with Bastard. But less so. I think Bastard was still a little more driven in one way, but then Goblin was just everywhere, and it was.
I really like the narrative that album tied in from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like,
that's really cool.
That's cool. I like what he did with the structure, but then like there's a lot of
that seems to dissipate during the middle of it.
That's the issue.
That's the problem. Like, yeah, exactly.
All right, like, so that's Goblin out.
Yeah.
Matt, do you have anything in here that you really don't want to see win?
I wasn't really into Shabazz.
Oh. Okay.
Oh. Where did all the rap go?
That's all of it all at once.
God damn it.
You know that won our rap album of the year, right?
Now I know.
Okay, cool.
All right.
So that's both of the things that have won awards this year already out of contention.
Like, three, all the rap albums that were up for rap album of the year are no longer in this category.
Yeah.
And that's right. Really strange. You want to know why? Yeah. Because rap was crazy this year.
Because rap Death Grips, year, though.
I think we should have put Death Grips.
Because Death Grips, dude. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, guys.
I just felt like Death Grips was like...
You want to put
like,
Death Grips in here?
I feel like Death Grips was like kind of the most interesting thing to happen.
You guys
want to
put
scene.
Death Grips in here?
Is that wrong for me to say? I guess it is, maybe. But
no, absolutely not.
I feel like Death Grips is like, out of everything, he was the most the most compelling thing. Like, because...
Yeah.
Death Grips in its own is, it kind of breaks everything we've already expected from hip-hop in this weird way, but it still sticks to it. Like,
right.
Well,
that's the exact same thing that Shabazz Palaces is doing, though.
Yeah.
It's just that where Shabazz
comes from,
me and
John had a good argument about
Quest thing than a hardcore gangster rap.
About why Shabazz Palaces won over Death Grips in the best rap category.
Yeah, that's what it came down to, is Death Grips and Shabazz. And, I don't know, maybe we'll get to the end of it, and if we decide that's not right,
it just had to do with the rapper, like his
Ride is a compelling rapper.
His delivery is just so
it goes.
Like his delivery is just something that to be marveled at, and
I know.
It's just that's really and that's what it comes down to when it comes to rap. Really, is that like. I mean, your track could be as great as you want it to be, but if your rapper, is subpar, but his delivery is just so interesting and so intense.
It's also like, he reminds me of like a hype man that could be taken seriously that can rap.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like he's rapping. He feels like he's...
He's a true frontman.
He's just screaming at you. Yeah. That's kind of the appeal.
It's the appeal. He's screaming at you, but it also doesn't feel like he's just... It's that simple at the same time. It has, like, some kind of tonality to it, and it's really... I think that's really cool. I don't know.
All right, so... Will I... Do you want to just add Death Grips? So, like, put up a post. Oh, by the way, Death Grips is also an album of the year.
We'll bold it.
We'll asterisk. Bold it.
Yeah, I'll just put, hella I'll put that up on Monday. All right, surprise entrant album of the year, Death Grips.
Congratulations.
Because we've talked about it enough that it kind of has to be in here.
God damn it. Do we have a narrative, too?
No.
Good.
No.
Good.
All right. Are you ready for shit to get violent?
Sure. I'm assuming
I could take out Knife Man.
What?
Oh. I actually...
I'm going to stab your face.
I'll be honest, I didn't listen to Knife Man as much. Why do you want to take it out? I don't think it's awful.
I skipped 6 out of 16 songs. I can't call that album of the year.
Oh, okay. I'll be honest. I'm in the same boat. I didn't listen to the whole thing because I dipped off too. So, but I'm not. I can't articulate
the
why.
High points of that album are amazing. I just skipped too much of it.
So okay, Andrew
Fuck
needs
you.
To defend.
Andrew just got real quiet.
Andrew, defend why you want it there, and then convince
it's his favorite album.
Well, why is it your favorite album, is the question.
I think lyrically, that album is fucking stunning.
Okay.
And I just, the way it's delivered, you can tell how honest, like, that. This is the most honest record of the year, like,
yeah,
seriously.
Absolutely.
And that honesty, like, bent down to me, like, I felt, like, the tracks are depressing, like, the thematic material is pretty dark and abysmal, like, it's just... It's in its own little world of pain. Mm-hmm. However, when
it
I hear it...
It doesn't wallow in it as much as, like, emo or anything.
Yeah, when I hear it, I feel empowered. Like...
Yeah, I can hear that in, like, songs like... Yeah, I can definitely hear that. Like, it feels like it's... The messages are... You know, they're definitely not positive, but they have, like... The atmosphere still feels, like, uplifting in a very odd way.
It feels relatable.
It feels relatable, and it feels like... It doesn't feel like, oh, everything's sad. It feels like, you know, we can get through it together. Yeah. It's a bad metaphor.
It's like kind of just like, well, shit, I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah,
but
it's just like, hey,
we have to do something.
You know, you mean, you got to go, you got to live with this shit, so keep going. Like, that kind
of
thing.
Well, let me be clear. It's not that I don't like Knife Man. I think large parts of Knife Man are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
There's too much on there that feels like either filler or just not up to snuff with the rest of the record.
I have probably the strongest affinity to folk music in here.
Yeah.
And
really?
A pretty strong music. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I play folk music.
I know you play it. I've just, it, like, what I've listened to, like, I listen, like, I'm really reverent of people like Linda Perrax and like, just a lot of the older stuff, the, like, the psychedelic stuff, like, that's mostly where I've branched from. But, also punk.
Yeah.
Like, that's a driving force in all of us right now.
Right.
So,
yeah. That is Iggy Pop in the banner up there.
Yeah. That's the guy.
So.
The fact just, and just, I don't usually get, like, these feelings with lyrics, but when I listened to Knife Man for, like, the first time, I had, I think I cried during People 2.
Mm-hmm.
People 2 2. They already have a song called
yeah,
People 2.
Still People.
Let's clarify.
Yeah, yes. Still People.
And then, like, as soon as, like, Sorry Bro kicked in, I was just like, okay, fuck yeah, all right, I don't need to cry anymore. This is great. And then fucking Freebird and Big Bird come on, and
yeah, that album ends in a really amazing way between those two songs.
Yeah,
it's just that
I could understand you could probably could deal without Skate Park.
Yeah,
and
I don't like. I have the six. I wrote them down when I was going through it. It's like
let me
backpack,
know the six.
Distance. If you have love in your heart, no one. Sorry, Bro, and Skate Park like are all just kind of.
I don't understand. Distance. I don't understand that one. That's one of my favorite songs on that.
I don't know. It just feels. I don't know.
I feel bad because, like, now hearing Andrew talk about it, like, I feel like I didn't give it enough time that I should have, actually. Because if it had affected him that much, I feel like maybe I should have gave it more time. Because a lot of those songs in there do seem like they're right up my alley. Like, this is kind of the shit I probably would eat up to, but. I think I.
All right, we'll come back to it.
I don't want to cut it off because of what Andrew says, but I can't defend it either because I didn't give it enough. I don't think I really gave it the time I could have. Maybe
that's my immediate rationalization. If you had to ask me right off the top of my head.
Yeah, and I guess I understand. I can like, see it now.
The imagery. All right,
we'll come back to it. We'll
demo.
See it's what great. Else we can get rid of, and then.
Can we say that, let's just say Age of Odds are out of the year. Can we just do that?
No, God, no.
We had this idea of making what we should have called the last year's album of the year.
Did anyone
the Way Out by the Books.
I'll admit that after we finished the podcast a month later, I went back to my head and I said, Before Today. Oh, shit, Before Today. I went back a month later and I'm like, oh, Before Today, though. Ah, shit.
Halverson and I had, like, a similar experience, but it wasn't either of them. It's just, like, January came around, and then I just kind of, like, one day it's like, dude, did you listen to that Books record?
Jesus Christ.
We are so stupid.
Actually.
Yeah.
Then I got this thing, like, recently where I listened to Age of Odds again. I don't know why. I've been going back to old albums from last year. And then I started really loving that. I got really confused, so I'm sorry, Andrew.
It's okay.
I shat on that thing. And,
Age of Odds?
Yeah, and now I like it.
it's a real pretty record.
It is a pretty record.
Like,
Impossible
we'll
Soul
it.
Is really pretty. And,
yeah.
It's not
so... Futile Devices is the only song on there I really...
Impossible Soul is
I think
pretty.
I think Futile Devices and Impossible Soul kind of go hand
so
in hand with
impossible.
That, actually. They're totally different songs.
Yeah.
But it closes the same way it opens.
So what next? What next?
Matt, I seem to have this image of you in my head not liking PJ Harvey.
Let's talk about
let's rap about it. Let England Shake. Cause we
that
need to
record is fucking stunning.
I know.
So the defense I gave when I laid it out in that article is that it is a political protest album about World War II, I guess. And then after the London riots, it felt immediately relevant again. And that takes real craft.
Though,
I was kind of blown away by it.
Though she did not make it, I felt... I can't help but feel, like, the stronger affinity to that album after those riots. I just couldn't...
Yeah.
Like, I understood it immediately. Like, it almost felt like an allegory.
Right.
And it was just the songwriting there is probably any like the best you're going to come across this year, with maybe the exception. Well, like I think in the way that the way of the songwriter Apocalypse and Let England Shake are fairly similar at that front. Yeah. But yeah, just songwriting. She like knocks out all of the songs on there. Are fucking amazing. With like the minus the two near like the end.
All right. Yeah. The album kind of ends on a weak note.
Yeah.
There's a lot of. I guess I noticed there's like the almost the odd similarities between this and Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just the you know the pontificating on our end of society in the future very soon. You know,
it's just Apocalypse the PJ is the more American, fixed on like you know. The actual. Structure of society.
Of society. And, like, with,
and Bill is very individual.
Yeah. And very centralized himself and accepting of,
but,
like, him accepting.
But those are really interesting contrasts, though, at the same time. Like, two different albums that are very kind of the same thing, but, like, a more introspective one. And then, yeah. I found that interesting. I guess I just, it came down to the singer for me, for PJ Harvey, I think. It's really that simple for me again. I don't know.
Can we get rid of PJ, or... Like, I wish that album ended a lot stronger than it
did. Let's go through all of them, and then maybe we can do that.
Well, Ice Age? We meant...
Ice Age.
Ice Age, yeah.
Warranting amongst, like, I know it's a debut. Yeah. And I listened to it last night after we stopped talking. And I can't ever really... Like, the album goes by so fast that I can't remember specific tracks... Except, like, White Rune, Broken Bone, and, Collapse.
Yeah, I can see that, on some sense. That's kind of the thing I like about it, is the fact that it is just, a, like, rapid-fire oomph, but I can totally see your argument.
I think it's just, a lot of it's, like it gets to a point where we gave it the best debut... Because it's so, it knows its identity well enough. Yeah.
It's remarkably well spoken for the first thing from a bunch of teenagers.
Makes me count. So
fucking 18-year-olds that can create punk music.
They're doing a lot of really cool stuff. And like Broken Bone had some really, it made me kind of, they're 18? That makes me really jealous because my band is not even close to doing stuff like that.
I'm 23. What do you think I feel about
it? My band is not even close to doing stuff like that, and that makes me angry. Like, there's just like really cool things going on, and like I gotta keep talking about Broken Bone because that's really the one that stuck out to me. And like, this is frustrating.
Well, if we're talking about certain songs sticking out and the rest of it floating by, it kind of can't be album of the year, then I guess.
I don't. Yeah. I guess that's the best.
Who's going to break my heart and say Tune Yards can go?
What? No! No!
I'm not going to do that yet.
No! Okay. Why are we taking Tune Yards out? I love Tune Yards.
Why would we do that?
I love Tune Yards. Why do you want to get Tune Yards out?
No, I was just seeing if...
He just wanted to see if anyone was going to shit on
it. We're trying to find out, like, what can get out of here.
Yeah, no.
Because now we're in this horrible situation where the albums we have left are Nightman, Apocalypse,
here are the ones I will name the ones that, just for me personally, that are the ones that at least, like, are the ones I can even articulately talk about well, are that I think just because I feel like a lot of these kind of passed through me, and there's only a few that stuck with me. There were St. Vincent, Tune Yards, and then Bill Callahan. Those were the three that really stuck with me.
And Death Grips, I guess.
I guess Death Grips. I wouldn't say like the whole album as a whole stuck with me. I think Death Grips in general, just the idea of it, of Death Grips existing, and just it's an entity being real. You know, that was
As art, it is clearly the most fascinating thing happening.
It's as rap music, completely fascinating and amazing in every way.
Which leaves Knife Man and PJ Harvey as, I guess, the easiest to do away with.
I think we might have to do away with PJ Harvey because of my general idea. Just simply because I accidentally related it to Apocalypse and then just started thinking.
Yeah.
I have a way stronger affinity to Apocalypse because of its individualism.
Mm-hmm.
And total bias here, Bill Callahan is my, like, favorite artist, like singular artist, like ever.
I would say it's just he has such a voice that feels like has a story. Like he has a story.
Yeah.
Like every time he sings, you feel like he has something important to say, and it's really hard not to listen to anything he's singing.
He uses his voice supernaturally well.
He's I know.
Got, like, probably one of the coolest voices in, like fucking music
the
right
intro
now.
To the album, just the first lines he sings a cappella were, like, that hit me for a second. I was like, whoa, okay, all right, I'm listening to this
thing. We're off and running.
I'm like, all right, we're doing this thing. Okay, that's good. I'm in. Like, it captured me really all quickly.
Right, so, Death Grips, Tune Yards, St. Vincent, Apocalypse, Knife Man.
Mm-hmm. All right. Interesting how this. Okay.
I just think it's real weird how Here's to Nowhere got fucked.
I'm sorry.
It's cool.
Maybe next year, Masita.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got an album out in like February, so that's awesome.
That'll be cool. But, I like songs from that album so far. Alright, anyway. Alright, I'll stop. I'll stop being a little bit.
Live in regret. We have to get rid of some fucking albums.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a blessing.
Maybe.
Yeah, it certainly freed that part of the process up, because, God.
Yeah, well, to me also, it's to me, Here's to Nowhere felt like a debut, just because that was all I heard.
It occurred to me what that album's really about, but I don't know that I enjoy that knowledge.
What's it about? I don't really know.
It's kind of about being in the friend zone.
Really? That's lame. That sucks.
That's exceptionally what I got out of it.
Okay, that album sucks now.
No, hey. Come on. Well, like, of course, there's a more romantic way to put it about, like, being jilted and all that, but it eventually comes down to rejection, leaving, and dealing with it.
I guess, yeah.
That's a familiar concept to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I...
Well, it's
like
the first half of Apocalypse.
Yeah.
It's Drover to The Flare Burned and Fell.
No, it's America.
Yeah. No! Damn it, no.
He's just real pissed about being away. That's the entire album.
Well,
no,
Apocalypse.
That's America.
So where I come down on Apocalypse is that the first three tracks are kind of about just making a bunch of young man dumbass mistakes and drowning in it.
Applicant is figuring it the fuck out.
Yeah, and like he said as much in an interview with The Quietus. He said that the turning point for the narrative in that record is the flare burned and fell, the boat burned as well. Like. As in, like, his understanding of the world as he sunk, he realized what was happening. And what he had done and came to peace with.
This is a legitimately beautiful record that we're going to hold on to right here.
Yeah, Apocalypse isn't going anywhere. That album is amazing.
Okay. What do we have here?
Knife Man, Apocalypse, yeah. St. Vincent, Tune Yards, Death Grips. I don't like St. Vincent that much.
Why not?
You just don't?
Because
there's something that's missing. It like actor felt a lot more urgent.
I was gonna ask you because I know you were really into St. Vincent when she came out with Actor, and I feel like in this one she kind of it feels like she kind of skewed towards me, not me specifically, but like the people like me, where she kind of stripped down the music a bit and she made it. I think she focused. I wouldn't say focused more on melody, but made them more. Apparent and more of the centerfold.
Musically, right. Strange Mercy is way more powerful than any of her other albums.
Yeah, but it's also a lot more pop, and that kind of is what lost
I think that's why it's so... I don't know. I think that's why it's so great at the same time, though.
No, I understand that. Like, it's absolutely the aesthetic she's going for of that broken, pretty thing.
Mm.
Like, that's the thrust of her songwriting. Like, this is totally realization of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm apparently not cool with having got here.
Well, this is another Bon Iver conversation where we go back to...
No, my conversation about Bon Iver was, God, this is garbage,
well,
and then you guys were
No. You were saying, like, it just doesn't feel like it doesn't have... You were arguing the same thing where I feel like...
It's essentially the same argument,
she
though,
came in
just
with
less
this,
so.
This intent, and I think she achieved it really well, and I give her... I feel like there's still a lot of stuff going on in it at the same time, though. There's still a lot of stuff going on there.
I also feel it kind of trails off in quality around the time it hits Strange Mercy.
After Strange Mercy is like neutered. I don't like Neutered Fruit Champagne Year.
Really?
Or Hysterical Strength.
Hysterical Strength bugs the shit out of me.
Yeah.
That song's
those
really
annoying. Those are the songs I don't like.
I should know.
But like, it picks up after Year of the Tiger.
Hysterical Strength is the one with, like, the really bouncy kind of weird synth at the beginning.
Yeah.
I actually don't. I actually like it. I actually didn't mind Hysterical Strength. I'm listening back to it because I forgot what I was. Yeah, I actually don't mind.
I still think the best songs on there are Cruel and Cheerleader.
Cruel and Surgeon are so good.
Yeah.
Cruel, like those four, like that, those four tracks right there, like Cruel, Cheerleader, Surgeon,
like,
Northern
Chloe
Lights.
Chloe to Northern Lights
great.
Is an amazing
and,
song.
Dilettante.
Yeah, like just the way it's sung.
I love,
it's so beautiful.
I just love
those
lyrics.
It's beautiful.
And the lyrics are just, I don't know, they're really nice and really cool. There's something about it. I don't know.
Production on the track's good.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it has a really, really, just really good hooks, you know, like this, just really good handle on it. And I guess it's not the most artistically groundbreaking and earth shaking thing you'll be listening to. But I feel like it's just,
I feel like that's
that we're
later
dealing with
for
albums
her.
On that level in here. Like,
we are
between like Toon Yards and Apocalypse and Death Grips. We are kind of at the level of earth shaking artistic.
I guess, but. It's
I just
really,
don't think it competes.
I feel like the lonely village peasant right now, where I'm like, well, sir, I would like a little bit more of porridge. I don't really want the wine. I just want the porridge, sir. It's fine. Oh, look at the little boy wanting the porridge again. What a silly little boy. Go have the porridge and go play with your rocks, child. I like my rocks. I think the rocks are all right. And even, I mean, I think St. Vincent is the rocks of the year.
Okay, I think we found the episode title.
Yeah, it's in there.
Rocks of the year.
I think St. Vincent are the rocks of the year. And I like it. It's pretty.
Oh, my God.
God damn it.
Okay, we'll come back to it.
Now I feel bad.
Just because of your porridge argument, we'll come back.
I like how last year I made the game of the video song of the year.
Yeah, no.
Title, and this
you're
year
a catchphrase machine.
I do it again. I'm just a catchphrase machine. So yeah, let's go. I think we just kind of trailed off on Apocalypse, but enlighten me on Apocalypse then, because I liked it, but I don't think I read into it as much as you guys. Apparently,
it's a story.
Well, like, you consider how that album starts. It's about, it's, the first song is about running. It's about being stampeded by your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second song is kind of a, it's a lot more personal. It's a lot more about the internal regret and the need to run from that and trying to escape, like, decisions you made with someone that ruined their life.
Mm-hmm.
America is just focusing that aggression of where you're at outwards, like, it's just this fucking city I'm in, and
it's
not like where I used to be. And then, like, in the middle of Universal Applicant, he just has a chance to fucking chill the fuck out and realize what he's been doing, like how he's been going about living his life. This is not Bill Callahan, this is the character on Apocalypse.
Yeah,
he's made that clear as well. It's not all like, this is what, this was my year last year. No.
It's really interesting, actually, about the album cover for Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just, it's fairly obvious that it's juxtaposition, and it's an ironic album picture. Yeah. But it's not intrusive.
Well, he never referred to Apocalypse as the end of the world, just as
no,
it's
a state
of
mind.
World
it's a state of mind.
Yeah.
In that album.
And then, like, the fact that he can follow all of this inner turmoil and realization with fucking writing for the feeling, which is this moment of just total raw regret. Like, that, I wasn't hot on that song until, like, the entire narrative it clicked with me, and then that song fucking ruins me.
That's
the one that killed, like, I've cried after.
Yeah.
Like, I've cried more this year in music than I've had in a long time.
That's because you're a big weepy baby, Andrew.
What the fuck kind of noise was that?
It didn't click with me, I guess, in that way as well. I didn't get the, I don't think, I feel like I didn't
contemplate it took a while for me.
Enough.
Right.
For it, yeah. Like,
I guess that's fair.
I appreciated it in a lot of ways, just musically, but I didn't think about it as the concept album it is. I didn't really, to be honest, this shows you how uninformed I am with the
it's
music industry.
Why we put it in Ineffable.
This year.
Yeah.
This is, you show how uneducated I am with the music industry this year, is that, like, I wasn't really aware of what the idea was behind this album going into it.
I went way overboard looking into it. Don't feel bad. Like, this is all from stuff done by some obscure British press outlet.
And I mean,
like
normally,
this interview that he just gave with
normally
him.
Normally, I would have done that too, but you know, different things got in the way. But
yeah, that's cool.
I will give it that. Like the idea that much forethought is in it, and that narrative. Like I this is kind of where
I could be reading way too far into it. But he mentioned it was narrative and said the turning point was the flare.
Well, and this is I was talking to you one day, and I brought up. I was listening to Bill Callahan, and I said, it reminds me of Swans. And you went,
yeah.
Excuse me?
This is what I want to talk about.
Are you serious? Yeah. I went, yeah, it kind of reminds me of Swans in this way, because I feel like structurally, and I guess in the sense that I recognize there was a narrative there, and I just kind of had this feeling that it matched Swans in that narrative, and not matched it exactly like the same story, but just in how it was structured. And in a way, how the songs were structured. I was listening to America, and I was like, this sounds like something that I think, in a way, if, you know, that I could see Swans kind of doing. It's focused on repetition and droning beats and things like that. It felt like Swans, and I had this vibe about it that it kind of felt like my father, and that's where I kind of was mystified by it, but I didn't really get to articulate that well enough after thinking about it. Did Andrew agree with me or something? Do we have like a connection?
I kind of understand where you're coming from.
Oh, absolutely. Weird.
It took a little bit. Like, I think John Todd told me about that idea you had because it was crazy.
Yeah, you just mentioned it offhand. It's like, I'm going to go listen to it again to think about it. Mm. And I was just kind of sitting in my chair like, Swans and what? Like, trying desperately to draw the line here.
Yeah. I totally kind of agree with that. But they're two different kind of.
Well, Michael Gear is evil.
Michael
Gear.
Like, I was gonna say,
Gear is evil.
Totally, Bill Callahan. Completely different. Like Bill Callahan has like this very. He has this air about him where he probably kind of remotely enjoys the human race, and Michael Gear is in this world where you know.
They're both real wise.
Everything fucking sucks.
Everything sucks. But they both have this keen aesthetic for at least – I mean this keen idea for aesthetic and story and I feel just musically they have this they both feel like they're both – every time I listen to Swans, every time I listen to Apocalypse, they both – all the songs felt like they were building up to something. Like they were building up to something important. And I feel like this is like they both have this ability to create this brevity in their music.
So I guess the question is, do you think Bill Callahan got to what that something was by the end of it?
I think
because Little Mouth absolutely did.
Yeah, I don't. It's not like it's not little. The ending was not Little Mouth because I don't think it. No,
but there was also a different. Like we have to take. It, of course, it wasn't Little Mouth. Jesus Christ!
But in the sense
that sense of finality and wrapping up.
Yeah, in the sense that you wrap something
state
up
of the record
that well. Exactly.
Did it fill the point of Apocalypse?
I think the point of Apocalypse was made two songs earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, did it make it complete is probably the better
musically, I felt like I don't know.
I
think it did.
I felt like the last songs were more drifting off.
Right.
Instead of just
One
like,
Fine Morning is definitely less well, like when you compare it to something like Baby's Breath, which is so finely composed to the point that it's almost engineered. Like, One Fine Morning is just very casual and very free.
One Fine Morning felt like an epilogue. Yeah. Like, and I can't, I don't know narrative, but it felt like it was just recapping or just finishing off what was already over and just.
It kind of is.
Drifting off.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like to me. I don't think it wasn't a solid end like Little Mouth or anything. And I think
it wasn't an immediate conclusion. I think the immediate conclusion happens at the end of Freeze.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So that's another. So put like that, I could get rid of Apocalypse because of the ending.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought I was about to rationalize the fact that it's an epilogue, and is like I always think of like to me I can't help but to draw comparisons from film and music and.
But, see, the thing is, I want the epilogue to be something that I do on my own time, you know? Like, I want it to be me thinking about it.
Okay.
So, like, an actual filmic epilogue doesn't do a lot for me. That's, again, just my approach to this. but on the virtue, if the argument is it doesn't end strongly enough, then yeah, I can see getting rid of Apocalypse.
Okay, let's what do we have? Let's like recap that.
Knife Man, Apocalypse, Saint Vincent.
How is Saint Vincent on this list? I can't,
because of the porridge.
I can't believe I proved you guys with porridge. Okay, okay, all right. So we got. Say again, what we got? Toon Yards, Saint Vincent,
Death Grips, Knife Man, and okay. Apocalypse. I'm really thinking Knife Man can go, dude. I know you love that record, but.
Andrew's heart just blew up.
Yeah,
just let me think.
Just let him think.
He's gonna make a deal with the devil. He's
a devil deal.
A devil deal?
Devil stopped writing my songs.
Yeah.
I can't get the devil to write my songs. It's not working.
Fuck the devil.
I know.
Yeah.
He's not really a good writer
song
anyway.
That stuck in my head bad, dude. I actually learned it.
Oh, yeah, no, never mind. It's totally not applicable to this conversation.
Right.
Goddamn. I think we should talk about Toon Yards and what have we talked about yet? Yeah, did we talk about Death Grips a little bit?
Yeah.
We haven't even spoken a word about Toon Yards.
I think because there's not a lot to say about it if you haven't heard it.
Yeah, it's just this crazy musical force.
It's everything all at once.
It's so bizarre.
And in a way that's great.
It's so bizarre and so intricate and crazy and amazing in so many ways.
Yeah.
And, like, the best thing about it is that it has, like, this very definite personality that comes out immediately. Like, yeah. You listen to Business, yeah. You come listen to Business, and you're like, I know what this is about, and I know who you are. And it doesn't stop. It does not stop the entire way through. And you get the songs like Gangster. Gangsta.
Yeah. I'm kind of, like, proven on Esso.
Yeah.
Like, the moment the guitar, like, just like the, sorry, it's not guitar, but
ukulele.
It's like, it's an electrically tuned ukulele.
Yeah, whatever.
Once that comes in, I'm sold.
Yeah, yeah. Esso is really, the vocal patterns
there's
she's
not a weak
doing,
song on that record.
The vocal pattern she's doing in that song in Esso is just, it's so good.
Yeah, it's definitely like singer masturbation material. Yeah. It's just so much to be jealous over.
I know.
Like, I'm not totally fond of Wooly Wally Gong.
I'm just like, what are you like? Who are? Where? There's so many influences there. Like she's pulling stuff from like every musical genre, and like there's like hip hop, and there's like this almost like tribal music, and there's all this stuff going on. It's just like. And it makes me question, like, who is the drive? Is the lead singer the driving force
she's
in this?
She's the songwriter.
Exactly. So she's the driving force in this, and that's just it's insane. Like, that says a lot
to
about
consider. Like, this is all one person. Like the bassist that I think like helps her arrange,
right?
But I'm pretty sure she's the main songwriter.
Like, and to say that, like, she has this. It's almost like she has this odd obsession with, like I want to say rap culture. Or something of that sense.
Well, it's
and
the
like,
music she grew up with. Like,
yeah.
So the easy comparison point I've started coming to for this is Talking Heads. Mm. Like, it is by far the closest cousin out of all of popular music
like
to
vocally
what she's doing.
And
in everything. And the composition is just that where David Byrne had, like, African music or world music or whatever the shit you want to call it to fall back on.
Mm.
Like, she's had the entire development of rap culture. And that's how that's flavored what she's doing.
And I think what's cool about it is that it's totally not afraid. Like, Who Kill is totally not afraid to wear its influence on its sleeve.
Yeah.
And that's so endearing when musicians are willing to just say, yeah, you know what? Like, these are the things that inspired me, and I'm going to put them together, and I'm going to make this music because this is what I like. And they're totally okay with
that.
Yeah,
Meryl Garbus is fucking fearless. It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hold back. It does not hold back on anything, and I keep going back to Gangsta again, just thinking about it. Like that is perfect. It almost feels like satirical in a way, but it also feels too genuine to be satirical at the same time. It's just it's so confusing, but so awesome at the same time. It gets me so excited it says something about this. I've turned kids friends who aren't. Even when you never listen to any of the music I listen to, onto Toon Yards. Like, I play it for them one day and they're like, wow, this is like, there's just so much stuff going on there where they're just like, I can get into this. Because it feels poppy enough and it still has a lot of experimental stuff in there. And it feels like this album that fits everything. Like, yeah. I can give the 2 yards to anybody, and they'll go, that's awesome.
Here's the two comparison points I can cut, like, the two other points I have with 2 yards. One is that she can fucking recreate all of that live, which is horrifying to think about.
I know, watching it live
watching
is
footage
like,
of it, it's terrifying.
Yeah. Mm.
Two, David was the one who suggested 2 yards to me.
Interesting.
And we agree that that album is fucking amazing.
David.
For the people who don't know, David, my older brother.
Your brother.
We don't agree on shit.
Your brother.
Yeah.
Gave you this.
Yeah. He said, you should listen to 2 yards. It's pretty goddamn good.
And then, yeah, and I remember you sent it. Wrong. You sent it to me and I wasn't convinced, but then I saw them perform on Conan.
That's when it hit me.
And that my God, this is actually what this is.
Yeah, that performance on Conan was just so stellar. Yeah. And I was just blown away. I was like, there's no way this is real. Like, I was like, there's no way this is a thing, right? And I listened
this
to
this is
the
all
album,
just
like,
samplers.
I'm and... like, there's no way you did this as a... No, this is not a thing that can happen.
And
I listened to it, I'm like,
just
no,
standing there
is...
with two drums and two sax players and a bassist. It's like, holy Christ.
Yeah, it's just, it's... I mean, again, it's not a concept album. It's not really, like, a really smart narrative or anything, but it's just this, musically, it's just such a fresh and vibrant,
clever. Like, that's the thing that I took most from it. It's just endlessly clever.
Yeah, it doesn't take itself super seriously, but at the same time, it still kind of does, and
that's why we didn't say anything about 2 yards, Andrew, because Matt and I have nothing but good things to say. Because
it's just
we could talk about it for
awesome.
A day.
It's just so
good.
I hate
to be the guy.
No, don't do this. It's
I
too
think
good.
Woolly Wally Gong ruins the rest of the album for me.
You are so fucking retarded.
I think it drops the energy a little too much on Killa. Like, because like if it was ended with Killa, that's totally fine. Like that's it's just like it.
But it's following You Yes You, which has this totally amazing soaring climax. Like you can't follow that with more rapid fire music. And I think to that extent, Woolly Wally Gong is a perfect compliment.
Yeah, it
like tracking, like that song makes total sense.
I think maybe some tracks. I think You Yes You should have maybe ended it.
And I mean in the middle album, I remember this album has like a low point in the middle album too. I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know.
To talk trash on Riot Riot? Is that what's about to happen? Here?
No, I know it has. No, I mean it has a low point tonally. Like in right. tempo, like I think it's okay. I think I appreciate that it did that in the sense that, like, because I think people would have reacted like that in general. Mm-hmm. They would listen to the start of the album, they go like, "Holy crap!" And then like the slow song come in, and they're like, "What? Why is this here?" I think it's nice that it took the chance to do that, and it showed off more of the artistry. I didn't think Wally Wally Gong. I wouldn't say it's the most memorable song. But I don't think it ruins it for me. You Yes You is a... Yeah. That's a thing that punches you in the face. Like, the rest of the album just kind of hits you really hard.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like the top half of this album is just so good.
Yeah.
And I don't... I just... It's too... It's so good.
Yeah, I can't get rid of 2 yards. I'm
like,
sorry.
I can't, like... I go back to Gangsta and Business.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Duh.
Yeah.
I just go back to those mostly.
But that says something about like those two songs are just so.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know, man.
We'll keep 2 yards.
I defend 2 yards on the same merits I defend St. Vincent. It's musically right. I appreciate it. And, a lot of different ways.
Then we should knock out St. Vincent.
God damn it. Okay, fine.
I'm just saying, like, if that's... Yeah. I feel you feel... Like, hearing you talk about 2 yards, you feel way stronger about that.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because I like St. Vincent a little more.
You can
more,
talk
but...
about,
yeah.
like, specifics a little more on 2 yards, I think. But that's just, like, this is up to you. I'm putting words in your mouth, and that's fucked up.
I think... It's just saying... I think St. Vincent is just... She has this... I'm interested in her as like as a person and,
right.
and just something about her style on guitar. Like Surgeon kind of sold
this
album.
Oh God, yeah,
to
she's
me.
An amazing guitarist. Like, I don't think anyone was arguing against that.
And here's the thing, like her like, I said this to my friend, like, he was listening, I was making him listen to St. Vincent one day, he's like, and he's like, I was like, you should learn this on guitar, like, that'd be really cool. He's like, that's a guitar? I'm like, yeah, it's a guitar. Really? And it just brought that idea back to me where, like, her sense of aesthetic, yeah, in the sense of guitar is just, it's so interesting, and she's doing stuff I feel no one is doing. It with
probably fair, at least on electric guitar. I think that's fair.
I mean, on electric guitar, like in terms
hear Saint Vincent, I'll be honest, I want to play guitar like her.
Like, yeah, oh, God. And in terms of it, like aesthetic and how she has this really good ear for settings. Like, if you know anything about guitars, you know that some of the sounds she's doing is just kind of like, I'm not 100% sure what she's running through to do
these
things.
That similarity with Afropop on that sometimes, especially on Cruel.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like,
Cruel reminds me of Tune Yards a little bit.
And that was the biggest thing for me. It's just her ability to just kind of make these sounds out of this guitar. And, I mean, Get Surgeon is what sold that album to me. Like, that guitar, that one riff. So just all you needed for that song is just so interesting. Right. And so it's simple in a way, but it's also just... I like hooks. But I like hooks that feel like there's a lot going on with them. And there's a lot going on with that. And it still pulls you in so well. And I don't know. Right. I would say if you want to, I would be okay with saying St. Vincent can go. I'm in love.
Do we want to go over the other ones real quick, see if we can knock any of those out?
Sure, yeah.
Death Grips?
Death Grips is the same thing?
We're not knocking that out. We haven't even talked about, like, the extent of it. I'm not ready to knock it out. That's saying something.
What St. Vincent... like, a goddamn five-paragraph review of Death Grips.
What St. Vincent's is... guitar is what Death Grips' voice is to me. It's just
it's visceral. It's just, it's like this. It's a weapon. It's weaponized voice. And it's horrifying.
It's scary. I listen to Death Grips and I kind of feel really uncomfortable, but in like the best way.
And like the beats on that record are all crazy because it's all this like, well, like. The whole narrative crux of that album, not like to say, it's like, this is a big story, but like a big theme that keeps coming back on is drugs and consuming things to get out or get away or do anything. Mm. And the way it uses beats to illustrate that is brilliant because it's consuming those samples just as easily as it's popping pills. Like, mutilating a Nancy Sinatra song during Spread Eagle Cross the Block.
Mm.
Or Black Flag during, what, Clink, was it? I think that's Clink.
I think it's Clink.
Yeah, because like the other one would be... Yeah, it's Clink, because the one I was thinking about was Through the Walls for some reason. And then when it's, like, the beats that are made without, like, classic rock samples, it's this pulsing, shrill... Ugh, yeah, I'm in love with that record and everything about it.
Yeah, it's just...
I love every... I also... This is going to sound real weird, especially since at the beginning of this, you guys were yelling at me about not liking this album. However, I fucking adore it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I get this album probably more than like I feel something. I feel something that I don't normally feel.
Yeah.
Like the beats are fucking like the beats are so like there's his voice. And there's these beats that are just, like, as you are hearing him through the beats. Like, it's like sometimes his voice even gets drowned on him.
Mm.
And just, it gets so wacky towards the end. And it's don't make that use that as, like, a negative word.
Yeah.
That is,
well, it's letting
that's
go.
How it is. Like, it's almost sadistic. The way it's presented is in a sadistic manner.
Yeah.
And I feel... That is amazing. I love Death Grips. I'm willing to say that I'll fight for it.
Those beats they're recorded live, right? Are they recorded live or are they like from a sampler?
Some of the drum tracks are recorded live because Zach Hill's in that band.
Yeah, I know Zach Hill's. That's what I was asking.
I think there's like a couple drum breaks on a. Guillotine that he's doing?
Guillotine and Tachyon, I think, has...
And Tachyon is massive. Holy shit.
Yeah. And that's the best thing about it. Those beats are... they're really crunchy and so...
Yeah.
Like, I remember I like a lot of trip-hop because like I gotta like bass a lot because a lot of the beats were like really crunchy and like they really hit you hard, and I feel like you get the same thing. Like those beats match his voice perfectly, yeah. like we mentioned, because they're just as intense and crunchy and they punch you just as hard as his voice, and it's just this awesome mix, and it's just such a it's just a consuming thing. It, like the beats are so they're like, cause there's so much rap music that I feel right now is just so sterile. This is why I didn't like Goblin, and this is the only reason why I like Yonkers, really, because it didn't like the beats were really hard, but everything else kind of felt sterile.
Going back to Bass for a second, we were totally fucked up by how easily we got rid of that last year.
Really?
I went back and re-listened to that album.
Really?
And Bass is fucking amazing.
I felt like I fought for that, and then we just cut it.
Yeah, yeah.
Bastards.
We were totally goddamn
wrong. Wait, which one?
Wrong.
Bass? My favorite album of the year, when I said it's my favorite album of the year at the start of my review.
Yeah. We were so wrong. Well, at least I was wrong. I don't know. I've gone back to that album a lot in the last year.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
We were really wrong.
Good. So good. God damn it.
All right.
But also, you know, Death Grips has got some subtler moments. Beware.
Yeah.
I found that, like, the Charles...
Yeah, Beware
the
is
stuff,
kind
and...
of... Yeah, it's probably the most... Like, that and Culture Shocker is low-key as that album gets.
I liked it, though. I liked the one he got low-key, though. It felt really... Yeah. It was interesting, and I liked the... It has a really, like, it shows that it like, he can move into different...
He's not a one-trick guy. It's not just him yelling.
Exactly.
He has insight on how to use voice as an instrument and as rhythm.
There's depth there. There's actually different tonality being used, and he showed that he could do that. And that, like, because this could have been a one-trick pony easily, like some dude shouting but doing it really well. But now he's like, no, I know what's going on. There's subtext and going here, and, like, there's things going on. And that's cool. Like, that's the big thing is that, like, there's still depth behind simplicity, and I like that idea. Well, I wouldn't say it's so simple, but...
Okay.
So I don't know if we all agree. I feel like this is a thing between me and John are agreeing really hard together, and then Andrew's like, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
For what? For Death Grip?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
are
no,
you
for, like,
me?
Two
I'm, like,
Death
on
Grip.
Your side.
Okay.
Oh, right. I'm more so, like, I think I like Toon Yards. I feel Death Grips is a stronger... I think we're getting to my point about last year when we were arguing before Today and Women.
Yeah.
Eventually, Public Strain became my favorite, and I need to learn how my mind works when it comes to this sort of shit. I'm going by my intuition that I think Death Grips should stay over Toon Yards.
Mm. So what else? There's Toon Yards, Death Grips,
St. Vincent, Apocalypse, and Knife Man.
I'm willing to let St. Vincent go.
I'll concede...
Right. Okay.
I will concede Knife Man.
Okay.
Violence.
brutal. I will concede. All right, so...
That hurt Halverson to do, and I respect that on
some
level.
It took me about, like, 20 or 30 minutes to figure that out.
All right. It's the album of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year, where everyone sounds crestfallen.
I remember there was a high amount of swearing last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mainly
yeah.
just by me, though.
Yeah.
I think we know what we're doing a little more this year.
Yeah.
I feel like, this is our second year doing this, sort of, so...
All right. Apocalypse, Toon Yards, and Death Grips.
I feel like... I always... I don't know why, but I always, like, go back to... I think we did this... No, we didn't do this last year. No, because Before Today wasn't what we picked, even though it should have been...
Wrong, but okay. Hot tub? Get into my hot tub.
Get into my hot tub.
That's good if you understood what that joke was.
Yeah, see, that's not what I want.
It was great because I was like, the first thing I heard was Round and Round, and then I heard Hot Body Rub, and I was like, okay, I get you, Aerial Pink, right now.
Yeah.
I finally get you.
Right. I understand that on some level. It's just like, that was my first moment with Aerial Pink, was starting that record, and then it's like, and then having that explained to me, it's like, oh, that's actually a reference to, like, an Eddie Murphy thing. I almost strangled someone in my physics class.
Also, like,
over
to be
referential
fair,
humor.
I love Eddie Murphy. It's not. It wasn't that as much as referential humor. It was fairly, like it, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
Yeah,
but I liked it.
That we're getting caught up in last year's
in bad
shit.
Yeah. History lesson.
We can't go and debate old stuff. Still.
All right. Apocalypse. Toon Yards. Death Grips.
Oh, Toon Yards. Toon Yards. It's too good. It's too good.
Kind of with Matt on this one, unfortunately.
It's too good. Oh. It's just raw, like, oh, it's so much energy and so much excitement. And
but so is Death Grips.
Yeah, well, I would say it's excitement. I would
no, like,
Death Grips is a different kind of excitement.
I think it's exciting.
I wouldn't say Death Grips is excited about anything.
Oh, no, they're pumped. They're pumped to be here.
They are crazed and wide-eyed, and that's great.
I think they were drugged out, but not excited.
I prefer drugged out and like crazy over that.
So I like how the two albums that we've come down to are like high energy, high intensity, and Bill Callahan.
And I feel like we just I think we just cut out Bill Callahan subconsciously there.
I don't know. That's not fair.
Yeah.
That's not a fair. Just energy is not a fair thing.
But the thing is not even. It's not just because.
It's a different style.
It's not
No, absolutely. It's just that it seems that we are more excitable over Tune Yards and Death Grips.
Like Apocalypse. I'm just only slightly disappointed about that because Apocalypse is my favorite out of all that's left.
Yeah.
Well, you be the intellectual here then. That's the thing. It's like right now I'm like when I rate, I feel like I've given this opinion to you guys before. But like when I mm-hmm. think about music, when I give music my most wonderful praise. Is when music can get me excited and I prefer music that's poppier and just simple but not at the same time. It's not
stupid.
It's not stupid. It's smart about what it's doing. And I prefer that over, you know, I am totally for, you know, intellectualism and creating these these amazingly crafted stories. But when I listen to music, I listen to music for the music. It's the sound. It's these really quick emotions and these really bass level things that I look for in my music. I don't, you know, I appreciate people putting the effort into making this narrative and doing things of that sort. But when I listen to music, I look at stuff like Tune Yards. Because that's what music is about, sound for me first, and that's my thing, I feel. And that's why I always go back to this kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this is also coming from Bill Callahan, fucking adorer here.
Let's make really clear. This is not like, oh, this album's not good. These are three of the greatest albums that have come out in a while, I feel.
Because
Apocalypse grew on me huge. Like, I remember talking with Halverson, like, for the first half of the year. It's like, dude, I'm not feeling Apocalypse. Not seeing what you're seeing in Apocalypse. Like, not getting it. Don't like it. And then I turned on America, and then Writing for the Feeling made sense, like, in the last month. Like, that whole thing just fell into place.
Mm.
At the same time, like, I have a hell of a time arguing against Tune Yards or Death Grips with Apocalypse.
All right.
That
because
is...
I really like Death Grips, so...
Right. Oh, God, no.
Because I feel when we get to these conversations, now we're, like, I feel like we're getting into just now philosophies on...
On music writing and all that.
Music and why we appreciate it. And I feel like we all kind of have very different opinions in that sense. All
right.
Lyrically, Death Grips is more powerful than Tune Yards.
Economically, I actually bought Death Grips. It's free, and I bought it.
Economically, I'm about to buy Death Grips.
I haven't bought any of these albums.
After I get money.
Yeah, that's cool. You're like 18. We're not expecting you to.
Sweet. Awesome. I think... God damn it.
I'm fine giving this to Death Grips. I'm totally fine with it.
Let's give it a full... If we do that, we need to give... the final blows or our total arguments between the two.
Yeah.
I just never feel down at all. I mean, like, well, down, like, my energy level is not down, or there's not, like, really a dull moment on Death Grips for me.
I can see that.
Like, and that's fairly obvious.
I can totally see that.
Spread Eagle Across the Block, the intro of that is just like, here you go, this is what you get for the rest of the album.
It's noise rap, and it's in a way that is not infuriating as that would sound.
Yeah, well, the thing is that Dalek kind of did that pretty well, and they came about, like I was just like, oh, I was described to this as a little bit of, like, noise rap, and I was like, okay, is this going to sound like Dalek? No, this is way not as pretentious. However, I just, like, just when you, I feel like that video you posted of Death Grips live.
Like, of them doing Guillotine?
Yeah. It was just so off-kilter in comparison to the rest of the album. Because, like the beats you can't really do live if you got Zach Hill. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. And Zach Hill will just stampede all over your shit.
Yeah, Zach Hill is just going to put, like, fills into everything forever.
They're essentially doing live what they really, what wouldn't have worked on record.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different experience.
I think
and
that's a recognition of the sheer power that they hold.
I came so close to seeing them. God damn it.
Soon. Soon. Yeah. They'll put those dates up.
Yeah.
Maybe even Sacramento.
Matt, did you hear about this? Did I tell you about this?
It was that day.
It was apparently on Saturday, but, like, they made a bunch of California dates before they were going to Australia.
And then he lost his voice? Whatever?
Yeah, he blew out his voice.
Oh, I
and if
how
there's
that
one guy I can believe would blow out his voice recording, it would be MC Ryan.
I wonder how that
so
happened.
It was recording?
Yeah, he was recording new stuff, and he blew out his fucking voice.
That just makes me excited.
Yeah.
That he blew out his voice after recording that new stuff.
I'm kind of horrified. It's like, oh shit, he did that without blowing out his voice? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
We're in for something horrifying. So, so this is it.
Yeah.
I say Death Grips.
Wow, it wasn't even nominated.
It wasn't even nominated.
Yeah,
oh my God.
It wasn't even nominated. I came in. I came into the call.
Appropriate way for it to win. I guess.
I came into the call and went, what about Death Grips, guys? Like, oh, you know, yeah.
Like we,
what
it's
dick?
Like, oh, we don't have it nominated, and then we spent like 10 minutes talking about it. It's like it should be nominated. Fucking God.
Because we can talk about that. I felt like maybe it was probably a bad idea for us to base it on comparison numbers.
Yeah, we're not going to do it the same way
not
next
what
year.
Yeah, we're not going to do that again.
Comparison numbers. Yeah.
We took our lists.
Yeah,
and
we took the radar
them.
Rate your music thing, and at a point, like I just said, okay, here's what we have in common in our top 20s, and then here's how we're going to add new stuff, and then that'll be it. Which is how we ended up with like Ice Age and all sorts of stuff in here, and then ended up without Death Grips, and then ended up giving it to Death Grips, which wasn't in here.
I don't want to say. I feel like I want to say Tuneyard still just because I listened to it. More?
That's
what we did with
too.
What seems like this is getting familiar.
Yeah, this is getting familiar.
I
remember this conversation.
Let's like, just insert the last one we had.
Way easier than
I can.
And
now we'll cut back to last year's episode.
Yeah. And the winner of the 2011 Flower Republic Strain by Women.
We should just do that.
Surprise ending. We're
the end. Public Strain again.
Yeah.
I listened to Public Strain more this year and liked it more than any other album.
I haven't listened
to
Public Strain.
I liked it a whole lot more this year.
I haven't listened to it since we recorded that episode last year.
I think we made a real good choice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's not take the skeletons out of the closet.
Speaking of skeletons in the closet, spaghetti hair. One of Tricks Point never wins.
Yeah.
Okay. Death Grips. Death All Grips. Right. Is it Death Grips? Are we going to... Is it Junior? Okay, let's see. Let's do the final blow.
Okay. All
right.
I hear through the walls, and I want to tear my walls.
Stop this. Stop doing that.
I do. Like, I just, like, in my mindset, like, I feel like that I'm trying to create some sort of imagery that can kind of make sense. I'm, dude.
Static.
You know how much
opening
sleep
your
I've
mouth
been
and static
on?
Coming
I
out.
I want that's... you to know how much sleep I've been powered on for the last 3 days.
Yeah.
Not a lot. But hey. Oh well. So, typing.
I'm putting up the post that says ex-military is also in discussion for best album.
Okay. And it is.
Yeah.
I suppose
people should know that going in.
Okay, so guys, let's...
Oh my God.
Let's lay down.
This is tough. I think this is way tougher last year. I just unlocked an achievement for posting. I hate WordPress.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Go away. Shoot.
You got achievements now?
I don't know.
We're still recording,
so.
Guys.
Okay.
Let's think. This again.
Guillotine.
I remember this
guillotine.
Point. Oh, I know. Guillotine's good. Guillotine's really good. I like Guillotine.
USU.
Yeah, USU. Man, there's so many, like, really, these just so remember.
This is the hardest decision I've ever had to make.
This seems harder for you than last year than it was for me.
Oh, God, it's way more painful than last year.
Yeah, it is a little bit for me. Because, like, I don't want to just give in and say Death Grips because I feel like Toon Yards is something I've spent more time with.
And I
personally.
Am not
so
able to commit either way.
I've spent more time with Toon Yards as well.
And like, at the same, it's like, like. Like, so let's think.
It's just like, I think my reasoning is that the less I have listened to Death Grips, the more I have listened to Toon Yards. I remember the highlights of Death Grips a little bit more. Like, it'll come to mind. I have to listen to Who Kill to, like, completely get it again. Like,
but,
that's
like,
what it takes.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not constantly thinking about Who Kill.
Gangsta. Yeah.
I pretty well am. I'm thinking of, I listen to both of them very frequently at this point.
Like, I just, I like how, it depends, it's just tone out, it depends on the tone you want now, like, because, like, Death Crush just feels really, it's, you know, in a very dark place, in a very genuine place now, and like,
well, I suppose it comes to your outlook on the world. Like, they are both very honest records, but Death Grips is apocalyptic at best.
Mm-hmm.
And Who Kill is kind of, it's positive. Like,
yeah,
all things considered, Who Kill is a very positive record, even if it is sometimes concerned with inequality.
It's sarcastic.
And, yeah.
But it feels tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time it feels genuine, but it feels tongue-in-cheek. Because I always feel like it's trying to represent this
without dancing around
this,
it anymore, it's an exceptionally feminine record.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I feel like it. Yeah. Oh. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
And not in like some sections. Like, oh, this album's like ladies. That's fucking, fucking
vaginas.
Fucking. Yeah.
This album's vaginas.
No, but it is like. Oh God. See, the thing is, like, I've
let's get a lady in here.
I'm literally looking back and forth between each hand, and I don't know anymore.
I'm gonna write Death Grip. The album art should be Death Grips Toon Yards, but then again, that's like kind of spoilery.
Yeah, like no, I have album art made. Like, it's the 11 albums that are nominated.
And Death Grips. No, it should be a question mark.
Yeah,
but then no. But then I think the thing.
Okay, which...
All right.
I'm going to flip a coin. No. God damn it.
No.
Flipping a coin is the worst
way
to
I think we have to
anything.
Give this to Toon Yards because it was actually nominated.
Really?
But the thing is, we recognized our poor system.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the podcast, so...
I don't know.
You just say that because you don't make a decision.
Me? I don't want to make a decision.
I don't want to make a decision. I hate decisions.
I think about Death Grips on a pretty regular basis, even though when I don't listen to it.
Toon Yards.
Give me like 30 seconds. You guys talk to your bunch yourself.
So Kim Jong-il died.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. That happened.
I'm going to say Toon Yards.
I feel
I think with the my last justification I think it has over Death Grips is just there's something. There has to be something. There's some reason. There's some justification as to its accessibility. The fact that I've given it to people who don't understand my music taste at all, mm-hmm. I've given to these people, and the next day they're like, I've downloaded the whole album. It's so good. It's so good.
And would you consider giving Death Grips to them at any point?
I would never do that because they would go,
I've
what
done
is
that.
This?
The thing is that I have recommended Death Grips, and more people have liked Death Grips over to like, that's the thing.
But that depends. But the
which is really
but
weird.
But then that isn't a metric we can use to justify it.
But here's the thing.
But like, I see your point about the accessibility.
But it's the thing is that sense. I'm giving it to people who have I can't tell you – I can't show you who these people are, but they're just – all of them have wildly different music tastes, and none of them
you know what?
And I've given it to them, and they all – all seem to like went yeah Toon Yards.
My good friend Fred,
mm-hmm. yes,
he saw Toon Yards live,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I told him to go see him.
Yeah,
this resulted in well, he didn't really talk about it for a while, but like last I went to his house a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he had a copy of Who Kill.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I want to say there's
Toon Yards.
I want to say my justification. I think there's enough going on in the music where I feel like it appeals to so many different things because it's pulling from so many different things.
Right.
Well, I feel like Death Grips is channeling. Death Grips is channeling one thing. It's doing it really well and it's doing it very, very thoroughly. But I feel like Toon Yards is coming from so many different places and merging them together in such a way that it doesn't feel forced or contrived. It's just this very beautiful.
Fucking,
thing.
How hard is it to make something that pleases everyone?
Exactly.
They come fucking close.
And a band like this played on TV. Like that's still crazy to me. And enough people and people seem into it, and it pleases enough people. Like there's got to be something to that. There's something going on in the music that it has like this weird mixture that this little special thing and a tinge about it that no one seems to go. Oh, that's, it does that thing I don't like. Because it's never doing that thing you don't like, I feel.
Like, Jared really likes Toon Yards. Like,
I feel like it's doing something that everyone likes, and I think everyone's liking it for different reasons.
Right.
You know, like, I played it for my music teacher, and she was like, oh, it has, like, she has this African, this just tribal influence. Mm-hmm. I like that. And then this other person's like, it sounds like this really cool pop music. And, like, someone's like...
There's a lot of influence, and then there's a lot of stuff inside itself.
And I feel like they've mixed it together in a way where it doesn't feel forced and that it's okay to people just don't notice it. It feels like such a natural thing. And that's why I think on the merits musically, I think it gets merits in that point. I think that's what it has over Death Grips.
So, Toon Yards?
So, yeah, about my whole, the full thing about, like, seeing that copy of the CD.
Yeah.
That kind of, like, I had just remembered that. Mm. And I guess it is fair. And I could probably not immediately get people I don't know. I have a lot of close people who mm-hmm. are really accepting of this kind of music. Just music in general.
Mm-hmm.
But, especially Fred.
Mm-hmm.
But just that idea of just, I didn't really even do much. I didn't do any huge convincing.
Yeah, just, hey, you should maybe see this.
It was Toon Yards that kind of spoke for itself. And I'm willing to give it to it.
I'm willing to stand by Toon Yards for that one reason.
All right. Toon Yards is the best album of 2011.
Holy crap. All right.
God, got you there. Messy. We almost got you there.
We knew that was going to happen. No, we didn't. We actually had no clue.
We had no fucking...
By the way, at the start of this, like, last night, I joked with Halverson, like, write down what you think's going to win, and I wrote down Apocalypse.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
What changed your mind?
I wrote down Here's to Nowhere.
Because I was expecting... I wasn't sure... Like, the last time I talked to you about Toon Yards, you said it was just fine. I was like, I can't count on that. Last update I had is that you said you really liked Bill Callahan and that Toon Yards was fine. And it's like, okay.
I think my opinion changed.
Bill.
and
then...
Yeah, my opinion changed, I think... Mm. I don't know, I listened to it a second and I feel like... I don't know, it's just something... I think that thing is that the fact that I was able to give it to someone I know...
I better not fucking regret this, you guys.
But you probably will. You're going to regret it tomorrow.
Will. I'll probably regret it, but there's no point.
I feel like I threw a wrench in the gears, though, because John told me I was going to probably do that.
Well, no, that was the point of, like, how we spun. Like, well, Matt's, like, Andrew and I have been talking basically daily about music this year, and you've kind of been outside of the conversation, so you had the chance to be, like, a real upsetter on what was happening. Like, a real...
No, we had no fucking clue until you were going to come onto this.
Yeah. And then you were trying to be like, oh, I don't know if I can decide, and then...
I was making predictions about what Matt was going to think.
Someone says Tune Yards and you go off the fucking handle.
I didn't expect that. I forgot about that. I was like, oh, yeah, I really love Tune Yards. Hey!
All right.
This is good.
So wow. That's it. That's it for
Congratulations,
us.
Who
Congratulations
Tune
to Tune Yards.
Yards.
You have made the best album of 2011 until
getting our
we
check.
Listen to something else next year and go, God damn it, we're so stupid.
We're probably going to go back to something that wasn't even on the nomination list and go like, oh.
Yeah,
man.
Like, yeah, we get around to Chelsea Wolf, and then Andrew's like,
I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm already, like, into the idea of it.
I personally still have so much catching up to do still. Like, I missed
Maybe
out.
Maybe start with the other winners of the Fowry Awards.
Yeah.
Like, Here's to Nowhere. Or Here's to Nowhere didn't win yet.
Here's to Nowhere. No, Fleet Foxes won, not Here's to Nowhere.
He's listened to Fleet Foxes.
Yeah, I listened to Fleet Foxes.
Yeah. Or The Men. You know, they're pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
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 All right, well, that's going to do it for us.
My God.
Check out the mixtape tomorrow, and bye.
Yeah, see ya.
Wait, mixtape tomorrow?
Is it mixtape tomorrow?
Do I need to
get
you an
Not literally tomorrow. This is going up on Thursday. The mixtape goes up on Friday.
Right, internet time.
I'm retarded.
Internet.
Hey, this is... Today is December 20th?
That's not dated 18th. Because it might come... 18th?
Yeah, today's the 18th, but it's going up on the 22nd.
Don't date us. Dude, don't date us. Dude, what the hell?
Don't put dates on us.
Dude.
We're endless.
Just stop recording. Just stop the fucking podcast.
Bye.